Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, March 8th, 2018. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Cooking Fire Blamed for Gettysburg Blaze, by Maria Nagel and Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. An accidental cooking fire was the cause of a fire at an East Side apartment building last month that left 7 families homeless. The investigation is closed, Bloomington Fire Department spokesman Stuart Blade said on Wednesday. The fire was reported around 3:08 p.m. on February 10th. The damage was estimated at $650,000. One firefighter was slightly injured. Prior to the fire, the city found 226 code violations at the 12-unit, two-story building during an inspection on January 30th. The building caught fire 11 days later and displaced 29 residents. The violations included smoke alarm problems, missing doors, windows that wouldn't open, improperly installed doorknobs, damage from water leaks, and cockroaches. The city's report indicated various violations were found in all 12 apartments. The Gettysburg Drive property is one of 13 that Wayne Pelhank owns in Bloomington, according to McLean County property records. He also was cited for 572 violations at 5 apartment buildings he owns in the 900 blocks of West Front and Grove Streets. Ed Duran of Normal is listed as the property manager for the properties. The families have since been relocated, some to other Pelhank-owned properties. The fire and the hundreds of city code violations filed against Pelhank have prompted the Bloomington City Council to review the city's rental inspection program. That discussion has, as of Wednesday, not been scheduled. Because the apartment building was uninhabitable after the fire, those violations were deemed moot, but Pelhank was ordered to pay $110 in court costs at an administrative court hearing on February 28th. The case was continued until Wednesday to find out whether his insurance carrier plans to repair or demolish the destroyed building. "We don't believe it can be repaired. We think it should be demolished, but it's up to the insurance company to make that determination," Pelhank's attorney, Eitan Weltman, said Wednesday in court. Weltman said an insurance adjuster and a contractor were meeting Wednesday, but the insurance company's determination will not be available until Thursday. The case was continued until March 14th. Also Wednesday, 2 other administrative court cases involving Pelhank properties were dismissed because code violations have been fixed, said City Deputy Corporation Counselor Angela Fiennes Jimenez. After part of a ceiling reportedly fell at one of those properties, 1903 Peach Street, the city posted a no-occupancy order on February 28th, but it was lifted later that day because repairs were underway. Fiennes Jimenez said Wednesday the completed ceiling and drainage repairs and replacement of loose windows resolved the Peach Street case. The other case was resolved with Pelhank repairing the furnace at his rental property at 1027 West Mill Street. Pelhank already has paid the court costs of $110 in each of those cases. Some of the 572 citations at the Grove and Front Street properties have been dismissed after code violations were fixed, added Fiennes Jimenez. But Pelhank still faces fines of $17,500 for nearly 80 code violations that must be fixed before he appears in court again on March 28th. "If the problems are corrected, the fines will be dismissed," said Fiennes Jimenez, adding the landlord will then need to fix a final batch of code violations at those 5 buildings before that case is resolved. "I think the city and my client have the same goal in mind, and that is not being in court," Weltman told the Pantograph after Wednesday's court hearing. "We're working with the city, trying to get those violations that are validated taken care of." The next story is headlined, Normal West Student Dies After Bloomington Crash, by Kevin Barlow and Julia Evelsizer. Normal. a normal Community West High School student, critically injured in a two-vehicle crash Tuesday night, has died, the Peoria County Coroner's Office said Thursday morning. McLean County Unit 5 officials were informed that senior Olivia Livy Sonnets, 17, of Bloomington, was injured in the crash after leaving softball practice. She was initially taken to Advocate Broman Medical Center, then to OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. Illinois State Police said the accident occurred around 6:25 p.m. at the intersection of Mitsubishi Motorway, which also is US 150, and Rab Road. Police said Mitchell Moore, 23, was driving a 2008 GMC pickup truck south on Mitsubishi Motorway at the intersection with Rab Road. Sonnets, who was driving a 2007 Chrysler Sebring west on Rab Road, was stopped at a stoplight. The two vehicles collided after the light turned green and Sonnets, who was wearing her seatbelt, entered the intersection, said State Police, which is investigating the crash. Moore's vehicle entered the intersection illegally, police said. He was issued a ticket for disobeying a stoplight, failure to reduce speed, speeding, and failure to wear a seatbelt. He was transported to Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal. His condition was not disclosed. Unit 5 spokeswoman Dana Brown said students were told about the crash at the start of the school day Wednesday. Guidance counselors were on hand at the high school for students and staff, and comfort dogs also were available. Staff members needing substitute teachers were provided with them. The softball coach had a meeting with her team in the morning, said Brown. Brown said many softball parents visited the school Wednesday to be with members of the team. The next story is entitled, Mayor Farmer Vie for County Board Seat, by Derek Bay. Bloomington. Gerald Thompson doesn't just question whether his opponent is the right Republican to represent District 1 on the McLean County Board. He questions whether Jeremiah Houston is a Republican at all. If you pull voting records, you'll find that's not the case, said Thompson of Colfax. We have enough corruption and dishonesty in politics. If you can't be upfront about who you are, how can you be honest with the people you're representing? Voting records show Houston has pulled a Republican ballot for only 2 of his 6 primary votes, going Democratic the other 4 times. Thompson has pulled a Republican ballot for all 10 of his primary votes. When asked about the ballots, Houston told the Pantograph his partisan label is less important than the service he can provide to constituents. Houston, now president of the Village of Carlock, said he hopes to promote fiscal responsibility, the McLean County nursing home in Normal, and transparency, if chosen in the March 20th primary. He touted his success getting flashing lights near Carlock Elementary School as the kind of common-sense change he can achieve. Houston said he's running in part because Don Cavallini, who is retiring from the District 1 seat, voted against moving county board meetings from 9 a.m. on the third Tuesday of each month, which Houston supports as a transparency measure. Thompson said he opposes moving the meeting time because it's the best time to meet to conduct the business of the county, but he supports streaming committee meetings online. He also hopes to push preventative mental health services. A lifelong farmer, Thompson said he's running to promote agriculture. He served on the boards of the Illinois Farm Bureau, McLean County Farm Bureau, and Village of Arrowsmith. He wants to serve on the Land Use Committee, and in my opinion, it's only to represent farmers, and that's a disappointment because he needs to represent everybody in the district, said Houston, who works as a school bus driver for First Student, McLean County Unit 5's busing contractor. No candidates from other parties are currently running for the seat. Here's a story entitled, Man Says Crash Due to Fear of Zombies. Prosecutor, deem me high on drugs when hitting Peoria Airport. Peoria. A man who tried to ram a stolen vehicle into a central Illinois airport terminal says he was worried about an impending zombie apocalypse. Justin Demey, 27, was indicted Tuesday on charges of home invasion, residential burglary, possession of a stolen motor vehicle, and criminal damage to government-supported property, the Peoria Journal-Star reported. The indictment comes after his February 17th attempt to forcefully enter a terminal at the General Wayne A. Downing Peoria International Airport. Prosecutor Steve Patelli said Demey was high on drugs when he grew concerned about zombies. Patelli said Demey initially broke into a neighbor's apartment to steal keys to the car he later drove into the airport terminal. Demey then breached security and boarded an empty plane, according to Patelli. After exiting the plane, Demey attempted to break into a police vehicle by using a landscaping brick to smash the back window, said the prosecutor. Demey intended to drive the Peoria County Sheriff's deputy's car to Florida. Demey was apprehended after the deputy shut off his car remotely. The incident resulted in several delayed or canceled weekend flights. Demey's arraignment is scheduled for Thursday. He's being held at the Peoria County Jail on a $500,000 bond. He faces up to 30 years in prison if convicted. The next article is entitled, Cartoonist Visits U-High. Asian American Says Harmony Found While Making Graphic Novel. By Julia Evelsizer. Normal. Children of American immigrants face daily challenges, but graphic novelist Jean Luen Yang used his experience as an American-born Chinese child to achieve harmony in life. Yang shared his story about stereotypes, identity, and channeling emotion into art with students Wednesday at University High School in Normal. I needed harmony in my life. As a cartoonist, comics have been a way for me to find that harmony, said Yang, who illustrates for Avatar, The Last Airbender novels, and DC Comics. Yang, a former computer science teacher, said he found that path to harmony through his award-winning graphic novel, American Born Chinese, a story that is required reading for all U-High freshmen. His parents immigrated to America from China and Taiwan and brought with them a knack for storytelling, which they passed on to Yang. American-born Chinese includes three sections, including a legendary Chinese folktale about Sun Wukong and the Monkey King, and a story about the child of an immigrant family and his struggles to fit in at school. The third, most controversial story is about a white American boy whose Chinese cousin, Ching Ki, comes to visit. Ching Ki is portrayed through many Chinese stereotypes, such as his appearance, accent, and eating habits. The stereotypical character is modeled after political cartoons from the 1800s, when America saw an influx of Chinese immigrants. He also pulled ideas from personal childhood teasing. People ask if it's okay to laugh at the Ching Ki character. I would say yes. We are a culture that uses a lot of race-based humor, but it comes in two different flavors, said Yang. He said the first version of race-based humor focuses on how preposterous the racist ideas are. The other way people laugh at race-based humor is when they think it's true. With cousin Ching Ki, I'm using that first point, said Yang. He said the line between those two laughing points is thin, but he told the high school students, I believe your generation is much more sophisticated about it than older generations. You understand where that line is much better. In creating each section of the novel, Yang said he found a measure of harmony by experiencing and observing his emotions. This was me approaching the emotional realities of my childhood and observing myself go through those feelings. Some of those made points of pain in my childhood a little less painful, he said. He encouraged students to use art as an emotional expression and to treat others with respect, despite their differences. Senior Abby Collins said reading American-born Chinese was uncomfortable at times due to Yang's experience with racism because of his heritage. That's still important. Being uncomfortable plays a big part in having empathy for the other party, said Collins. I'm glad he addressed social issues and being proud of his identity. That's important for young adults, said senior Naomi Walker. Juniors Colin Poultney and Adam Schofield said Yang's novel left an impression on them as freshmen. He shared messages of inclusion and how people can easily feel left out, said Poultney. Hearing that come from him, someone who has experienced and accomplished the things he has, is truly cool. The next story is headlined, Rogers Challenges Theft Charges. CIAM Defendant Seeks Dismissal of 13 Counts, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. One of five defendants charged with crimes connected to management of the city-owned arena asked a judge Wednesday to dismiss theft charges against him. Bart Rogers is charged with 13 counts of theft of government funds during the time he worked as general manager of Central Illinois Arena Management, CIAM, the firm that supervised operations of the former U.S. Cellular Coliseum. Defense lawyer Stephanie Wong argued that two of the counts related to alleged illegal activity that fell outside the three-year window of the state statute of limitations for theft. Several other charges against Rogers lack sufficient details to tie Rogers to the alleged theft, said Wong. For example, charges that outline certain payments made by the city do not relate to what Rogers is accused of doing, according to Wong. And a statement in charges that money was deposited into the bank account of CIAM owner and co-defendant John Y. Butler contains no direct allegations that Rogers made the transaction, said Wong. Assistant State's Attorney Brad Rigdon argued the charges are incredibly detailed and contain sufficient information to explain the ongoing nature of the alleged theft. Judgments on whether Rogers' conduct was illegal will come later in court proceedings, said Rigdon. Associate Judge Michael Stroh will issue a written opinion on a portion of the defense motion. An April 23rd hearing is set for more arguments on other portions of Rogers' motion to dismiss theft counts. Also charged in September were Kelly W. Klein, former CIAM Assistant General Manager of Finance, accused of theft and money laundering, Paul Grazer, former Food and Beverage Director for CIAM, charged with theft, money laundering, and tax-related charges, and J.C. Lash, ex-finance director of BMI Concessions, and Butler, both of whom are charged with theft, wire fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy to commit tax evasion. All the defendants are free on bond. Here's a story entitled, Women of Distinction Nominations Accepted, by Pantograph Staff. Bloomington. YWCA McLean County is accepting nominations for the 29th Annual Women of Distinction Awards, which recognize local women for their contributions in arts and entertainment, business, education, professions, social service, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and volunteer service, as well as a young professional. The banquet will be May 22nd at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Uptown Normal. Social hour will begin at 5:30 p.m. and dinner and the program will follow at 6:30 p.m. One woman will be chosen in each category, and all nominees should be women who have demonstrated qualities of leadership, excellence in their professional and personal lives, and a commitment to improving McLean County through their work and volunteer service. Nominees also should support the YWCA mission of eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for everyone, the YWCA said in a prepared statement. Previous nominees can be renominated. Wings Award applications also are being accepted. This financial award, of as much as $1,500, is sponsored by past Women of Distinction recipients and is awarded annually to women to improve their skills and grow professionally. Wings applicants must demonstrate a commitment to professional and personal growth, as well as service to McLean County. Recipients also will be recognized at the Women of Distinction Awards Banquet. Applications, nominations for both awards are available at www.ywcamclean.org, or paper copies are available at YWCA McLean County, 1201 North Hershey Road, Bloomington. Women of Distinction and Wings nominations are due by 5 p.m. March 30th. For more information, contact Brandy Kimball at ywdevelopment@ywcamclean.org or call 309-662-0461, extension 298. The next story is headlined, Harris Receives High Marks in Judicial Poll, by Edith Brady Lunny. Springfield. Recent results of polls conducted by the Illinois State Bar Association rated 4th District Appellate Justice Thomas Harris highly qualified to continue his service on the court. Harris currently serves as presiding judge of the appellate court and is running unopposed in the March 20th Republican primary. The ISBA rating was based on interviews with judges and attorneys, as well as Harris's interview before 11 members of the Judicial Evaluation Committee. Almost 99% of the attorneys who responded to the Bar Association's advisory poll found Harris meets requirements of office, with scores ranging between 98 and 99% in the separate categories of integrity, impartiality, legal ability, and temperament. Harris is a Lincoln native and graduate of the University of Illinois and the University of Colorado Law School. He was in private practice from 1998 to 2007 before being named associate judge. He was elected in 2008 as resident circuit judge, a position in which he served until his assignment to appellate court in 2013. The 4th Judicial District covers 30 counties, including DeWitt, Livingston, Logan, McLean, and Woodford counties in central Illinois. The next story is entitled, BPD Probes Robbery of Food Worker, by Pantograph Staff, Bloomington. Bloomington police are investigating the Tuesday night robbery of a food delivery worker. Both the Bloomington and Normal police departments were called to the 200 block of West Division Street around 7:52 p.m. and learned that the employee was approached by a man and pushed to the ground. The suspect took an undisclosed amount of cash and a chicken dinner. He fled on foot. There were no injuries reported or weapons displayed, said police. The suspect is described as a black man, around 30 years old, with short hair or a bald head. He is around 5 feet 8 inches tall, with a thin build. Anyone with information is asked to contact BPD Detective Kurt Moss at 309-424-2534 or cmaas@cityblm.org. If you want to remain anonymous, call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward. And here's an item from today's Daily Digest entitled, Budget Workshop Set Saturday. Bloomington. The Bloomington City Council will meet Saturday to continue working on the city's proposed budget for fiscal 2019, which begins May 1st. The budget workshop will be from 8 a.m. to noon in the Osborne Room at the Bloomington Police Department, 305 Southeast Street. Last week, Interim City Manager Steve Rasmussen presented a proposed balanced fiscal 2019 budget of about $208 million, which is about $6 million less in both revenue and spending than this year's budget. The reductions are more about a difference in accounting than any changes in revenue and spending from this year's levels, he said. A public hearing on the budget is slated for Monday at the Council's regular 7 p.m. meeting at City Hall. The Council could approve the budget on April 9th. The deadline to adopt the budget is April 30th. We also have some area calendar notices for tomorrow, Friday. Book Adventures, 10:30 a.m. to noon, Friday and Saturday at the Normal Public Library for ages 3 to 7. The Mid-Century Politics of the Closet in Great Britain and What Parallels Still Persist, 3 p.m. Friday, University Galleries, Main Gallery, free. Speaker Justin Vickers. Lenten Fish Fry, 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, St. Joseph's Parish Hall, Chinoa. Host, St. Joseph's Parish Club. Fish Fry or Shrimp Dinner, 5:30 p.m. Friday, Knights of Columbus, Bloomington, $8. Grilled cheese, $2 to $5. And we have some information about today in history. Today is Thursday, March 8th, the 67th day of 2018. There are 298 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On March 8, 1965, the United States landed its first combat troops in South Vietnam as 3,500 Marines arrived to defend the U.S. airbase at Da Nang. Also on this date, in 1618, German astronomer Johannes Kepler devised his third law of planetary motion. In 1702, England's Queen Anne acceded to the throne upon the death of King William III. In 1854, U.S. Commodore Matthew C. Perry made his second landing in Japan. Within a month, he concluded a treaty with the Japanese. In 1874, the 13th President of the United States, Millard Fillmore, died in Buffalo, New York, at age 74. In 1917, Russia's so-called February Revolution, referring to the old-style calendar, began. The result was the abdication of the Russian monarchy in favor of a provisional government, which was overthrown later the same year by the Bolsheviks. The U.S. Senate voted to limit filibusters by adopting the cloture rule that year. And in 1930, the 27th President of the United States, William Howard Taft, died in Washington at age 72. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for March 8th. Please stay tuned.